Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition, a very special edition of This Week in Music Videos, the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the internet music video database. This is a music video podcast where we talk about music video releases, news, etc. But this week, we're talking about something very special indeed. But before we get into that, someone else is joining me on the podcast, as usual, from Manhattan, New York, is Mr. Doug Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Dude, super good, Adam. That can only mean one thing.
Absolutely singular thing that it could
give me one thing. I think, yeah, I do. I've been on this podcast more than anybody, even more than you.
That's right. I think, yeah. Yeah, because
I've been on every episode.
So there was one episode that you were only on partially. I think it was just me and Adam Alexander.
And then I called in from South by Southwest.
You called in from South by Southwest.
So but then there was a whole string that you weren't there for.
Well, there was a whole string where I just recorded alone by myself in the room, and I never released them.
We never put those up. That's just you yelling at the wall.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we listened to them and sort of considered them and deemed them too sad. So, Doug, you may have noticed it's kind of like we're running out of time in 2015.
Yeah, holy shit!
It's almost done. Yeah. Right now, as we record it, it's basically the very it's more than halfway point. More than halftime of December.
Yeah.
So
and more than halftime of the year.
Way more than halftime of the year. Yeah. So this is the time where we talk about our top music videos of 2015. And this is what this podcast is about. We're talking about the year in music videos all boiled down to just 10
music videos. Yeah, there was only 10 good videos this year.
Absolutely. So easy to choose.
Oh, you're right. No, that's a lie. We lied. There was a lot of good videos. Adam flew to New York for us to file this list down.
That's right. I flew to New York, and we sat in your apartment, Doug, and we whittled down this list from an initial 50. And we had an interesting method of doing this, we've done this before for several years. So we kind of we know how it goes, but I think we also know what each other is going to pick. So we've done a few things, and one of them, which I enjoy, is that we both have at the very top of the process, we both have one video that's safe.
Right.
That we that cannot be removed from the list by the other person.
We take the other's influence away from one video.
Exactly, so
we get to be singular choosers for just the one video, one of the 10.
And then we go through, I think we start with a list of around 50, and then we just go through and it took us several hours to whittle down the list.
Several hours. How many vape pen experiences did it take?
Oh, I didn't even know.
Six
dozen? Eight dozen?
Yeah.
12 dozen? Who knows? Baker's dozen? Right. But lots of vaping. And we finally whittled it down. And so the criteria that we used to whittle this down was also pretty varied. I mean, there were some videos that were on our list for quite a while. And then we kind of talked about it. We sat down and we looked each other in the eye.
We rewatched it. We Chromecasted the videos to our TV.
We did, yeah.
And we switched shirts. We were like, well, let me see how I feel in your shirt and you wear my shirt and just see if shirts have anything to do with it. Turns out shirts had no influence, but we weren't going to leave it there unchecked.
Well, I was skeptical of that and you know, for good reason. It turned out to be pretty useless, but so one of the things we did was kind of look back through the year in music videos to look at different videos that we might have forgotten, because a year is a long time.
Yeah, it's 369 days.
And one of the things that we looked at is, you know, we've done – I don't think we skipped that many weeks for this year for the podcast. I think we probably
we have
more podcasts left before the end of the year.
Yeah, obviously.
I think we might have done 50 or 51 episodes.
Yeah, I think we skipped one for Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah, we did do that.
And then we skipped one when we were fighting.
Right. And let's talk about that.
And then that's it.
So we went back and kind of looked through, the year in music videos to look and see what videos we were excited about at the time, we were talking about. And Doug, do you want to run down kind of just some of the things we were talking about this year.
Yeah, so in addition to this list, like, we kind of, like, looked at the year 2015 as in music videos, because I think, unlike when Pitchfork puts out their best music videos of the year, or when some of these other sites, and, you know, every website that's ever been made has a best music videos list of the year, but I think that we're trying to look at it from a unique perspective, and we have very specific criteria, and we kind of, like, where the year went and what the year meant for music videos is a big part of that decision making. And so, you know, one of the, you know, for example, one of the things that we had to consider was that Apple Music became a big player in music videos. It didn't exist before this year, but now it's become a big player in music videos, and they've premiered a lot of very high profile, you know, some of the most popular best videos of the year have premiered through Apple Music. And so we had to make sure, you know, some of the videos aren't even in the database yet because we only support currently, at the time of recording, YouTube and Vimeo embeds. So we needed to make sure that we had considered all of the Apple Music premieres, even the ones that might not be in the database yet, or the ones that hadn't been in the database for that long or made the biggest impact on Apple Music. Like, it's a whole new platform of music videos that we had to consider for our top 10 list. And so that was, like, a big element in what we were talking about.
Yeah, Apple Music premiered in June, and music videos were not really part of the Apple Music rollout. They weren't like, hey, check out all these music videos. But, you know, as we mentioned on the podcast before, music videos have always kind of weirdly been a part of Apple. You know, one of the biggest companies, I think, if not the biggest companies by revenue in the world. You know, their entertainment arm and their music arm kind of really tightly intertwine music videos into their music offering.
And it's not a surprise, that big a surprise, because as you mentioned, they've always been there. And way back 2 years in 2012, when Daniels were on the podcast, and they had a music video, two music videos in a row premiere on iTunes, back when music videos would just premiere on iTunes and you had to download them onto your phone to watch them. they talked about how they heard that there was, like, a direct connection between people who watch a music video on iTunes, like, a large percentage of them then go on to buy the album. So I have a feeling that a large percentage, and I think that's the KPI, to take a term that I've learned in the internet. The internet taught me.
What does KPI mean, Doug?
It means a key point of interest, I think, or something. Influence? I don't know what the fuck it means. It means the shit that's important. And I have a feeling that the shit that's important, from what the Apple Music music video views lead to is how many people who watch that video then, like, either also have an Apple Music account, or somehow, like, after watching that video, get an Apple Music account. That's what probably matters. I don't think Apple Music cares about the view count of these videos or the loves that these videos get. I think they care about subscribers to their new music service. And somehow, I think viewing music videos and building that brand recognition through music videos for Apple Music probably in somebody's spreadsheet leads to more people subscribing to Apple Music as a service.
That's right. Apple Music was kind of famous, I guess, one of the kind of, like, KPI, Doug, as you may, you know, if you will, of Apple Music was that you got a free three-month subscription to Apple Music.
That's almost like a lifetime if your life is only 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, if you're living for 3 months, you've got other problems, but one of the problems you don't have is paying for a music subscription.
Well, unless you're like a mosquito or something, right? Aren't there some things out there that, like, 3 months is a lifespan?
Yeah, 3 months, like, by the end, they're kind of like, you know, they're in a mosquito home. You know, enjoying reruns of their kids, shows, yeah, that they remember from 3 months ago.
Their kids don't answer their calls anymore. Yeah, they don't have Apple Music.
It's it's depressing me now. Yeah. But yeah, Apple Music, was I think, as people look back on this from a non-music video context, we'll probably see Apple Music as a failure from the music side and from, you know, probably the product side. But I think the actual music video side of Apple Music, which not a lot of people have concentrated on or written about or focused on at all, will go down as probably one of their strongest points. They released music videos for Drake, one of which we may be talking about later. They released music videos for MIA, for many other really, really high profile. The Weeknd.
They hitched their wagon to the right other wagons or whatever.
They did.
You hitch too.
They know what they're doing. In fact, one of my favorite lists at the end of the year is the Pitchfork 100 top tracks of the year. I love that list, and Pitchfork, I think, does a great job of compiling that.
Love that list.
And in the past few years, there's always been an official Pitchfork Spotify playlist, which has been really convenient. And this year, guess where you can find the tracks?
Oh, shit.
Our old friend Apple Music just sucking up all that juice.
Sucking up all that sun's energy.
That's right. So Apple Music doing a crazy job, a huge player in music videos this year.
And in our conversation.
But in terms of huge players in music videos, we had a late entry into the year, relatively, that was not premiering on any special platform. In fact, just went old Plain Jane over to the old Vivo.
Oh, Vivo. Ever heard of it?
And just kind of knocked everybody out of the park. Well, they knocked it out of the park. They knocked everybody over. And that was Adele's Hello music video that was released in September, I believe.
September. So it's about three-ish months old, 700 million views. So it was hard to ignore this music video in our conversations as well. Like, even if we hated the music video and hadn't seen it, it's like, well, what about this one that 700 million people watched in 3 months? It's like, oh, I guess we ought to consider that one. This also represents a 2015 trend, and that is folks premiering songs through music videos. Mm-hmm. And music videos work, I guess, because, you know, I don't think when – and we talked about this on the podcast when we – talked about the Adele video a couple weeks or months ago, is that I don't think if Adele would have just put this song out on SoundCloud, if SoundCloud would have 700 million plays at this point. I think the accompanying video to the song release elevates the song and obviously the video. And I think that there is something about that kind of 1-2 punch that comes along with music videos that brings a video like this that was like and a song like this that was already going to like light the world on fire to a second level that like before didn't really that like wouldn't exist without the video. And I think, you know, this Adele video is a perfect example of that. You know, it's essentially like 15 minutes from being at a billion views, and it'll be the fastest video to get there. And this video threatens everything. It's the only video that like legitimately threatens Gangnam Style as potentially being one of the or the most viewed video on the internet, and then a music video on the internet.
And that's a trend that was started in 2014 with I believe the first big video to really do that and make a point of it was "Shake It Off" by Taylor Swift, directed by Mark Romanek. And we've seen that trend. I mean, that's something that in 2015, a lot of artists, including Adele, have looked at it and said, you know, this works. This is something that's going to work for our album promotion and our song promotion. "Downtown" by Macklemore was also a music video that came out at the exact same time as the song. Same thing with Missy Elliott's comeback, "Where Are They From?" WTF. You know, if you wanted to hear the new Missy Elliott song or the new Macklemore song, you pretty much had to watch the video as well.
And if you want to like re-emerge as a musician, you got to do it through a music video.
Absolutely.
Like if you've spent any amount of time away, whether it's just an album cycle like Macklemore or whether it's 15 years like Missy Elliott, the music video is the way to blast yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. We also, speaking of Vivo, got kind of some a big platform. Well, maybe this only matters to me, but Vivo changed their watermark on all YouTube videos.
This only matters to you this much.
This much, yeah. This is kind of big. For as long as Vivo has been around, Vivo basically is a more expensive branding for YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. When YouTube videos or when music videos became huge on YouTube. So they've always had this very distinct and kind of iconic watermark on the music, videos. And you may have seen it. It's like this two-toned pink and bright pink and reddish pink leaf kind of with the Vivo logo, which is just a typeface in white. And that was on every thumbnail that you saw. You could very easily and immediately identify something as a Vivo music video because of that watermark. And in 2015, they changed it. They removed the colored leaf entirely, and now we just have this very simple white logo on all these Vivo music videos. That was another thing.
It's still a third of the videos. It still takes up a third of the video's thumbnail, but it is a lot more simple. It doesn't have pink.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's notable too. We can count, we'll check that as notable. And it's not something that we considered when picking our list of top 10, no, but it is something that's notable from 2015.
We also had the MTV Music Video Awards this year. And this year was notable for an article that music video director Josh Forbes wrote and a campaign that he, or Kickstarter that he operated before the MTV
GoFundMe.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. GoFundMe. he was nominated for the Shut Up and Dance video, which he directed, but was not invited to the award ceremony when was in fact told he could buy a $900 ticket. Mm-hmm. So he started a GoFundMe campaign to send him to the VMAs and also kind of sparked a conversation about how MTV treats directors and how they view music videos in general.
Right. Because, technically this video did not come from one of the technical categories. It came for best rock music video. And so since Josh was not the named nominee, that I guess is MTV's excuse for not inviting comping the ticket for the director of the music video that is being nominated for an award. So Josh got his ticket. They raised the money. GoFundMe did or helped. And Josh went and he wrote a Daily Beast article about his time at the VMAs. And I think what got the most attention from that article was Josh's description of the London Alley Entertainment after party, which we, I think it mixed responses to that in the music video industry, I would say, because Josh is a really funny guy and has a very funny article, but it also is pretty harsh on London Alley, and so definitely a notable moment. And it was definitely a moment when, because Josh's GoFundMe page was shared on Mashable and on Perez Hilton and all sorts of mainstream media outlets. And so it was a moment when, eyes were already on music videos because of the VMAs and people were looking a little bit deeper and paying attention to directors and some of the plights of, being a music video director and becoming aware of what happens and that music video director is what it is, folks getting a little piece of what it is to be a music video director. So that was definitely super interesting this year as well. What else? Anything else? Anything else massive?
I think that covers it for our sort of preamble, because everything else is massive, I think, is in our list.
Yeah, We the People, right? Preamble.
Yeah, this is We the People of IMVDB. Do in order hereby to declare
for more perfect union.
Hereby declare that the following are the top 10 music videos of the year. And Doug, we're going to start with number 10, and we're going to talk a little bit about each music video.
Well, should we tell folks too, if they're listening to this, that we have a very fancy, we talked about these music videos in video form, and that you can see on the website at imvdb.com/2015. But if you, for whatever reason, would rather, the folks hearing us now are the people who are interested in music videos, but mainly to hear about them. And so they've listened to the podcast, but you can watch along with this process at imvdb.com/2015. But instead, if you're listening, that means we should get into it. And so, yeah, that's what we were doing. And so number 10, like you said, Adam.
Well, we should also mention that if you're in Portugal.
Oh, right. Of course.
On December 23rd. Oh, man. Let's say, so you're at home. You're chilling with your family. You're Portuguese or you are in Portugal for some other reason and you speak Portuguese. And you want to kind of enjoy some music videos. You can turn to Canal 180, which I am told is Portuguese for Channel 180. And you can see our top 10 music video list. Us sitting on a couch together in New York talking about each one of these. Which is super
exciting. Big shout out to Ian Perlman, who helped with the he shot the video for us and he helped with the production. Big shouts.
I think we would still be there shooting if Ian didn't put on his first AD hat.
And we're right. And also this is today we're recording this podcast on Ian Perlman's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Ian.
Happy birthday, December 15th, Ian Perlman.
So let's get right into it, Doug.
Let's dig in. We talked about The Weeknd already.
We did.
Which is interesting because this music video is a Weeknd music video.
This is the newest Weeknd video. So look back on 2015. At the very beginning of 2015, I think you could be forgiven for not knowing who The Weeknd is. Let's just say hypothetically.
Yeah, sure.
But as the year progressed, The Weeknd had a huge year. First, he had that song Worth It in the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack, which was kind of like his first kind of foray into a big hit pop song. And then he had Can't Feel My Face, which was a massive hit in 2015. And then he also had The Hills, which was another massive hit. Can't Feel My Face and The Hills, both directed by Grant Singer, music videos. And then later in the year, just very recently actually, we got a new entry into the Weeknd canon, and that is In the Night, directed by our good friends, the directing duo Brother.
Who were on the podcast last week talking about this music video.
We picked this before they were on the podcast. They didn't
They didn't lobby us.
So we were super excited about this video for a number of reasons. Number one, as you may know if you are a longtime fan of the podcast, all two of you, that we have been following Brother's career and being, you know, talking to them. And Doug, you've met with them several times.
One of our only like behind the scenes endeavors, we've done like a handful of them. And one of the only ones we've done was a very early Brother video. I Wasted My Time by I.O.
That's right, which was
also is the musician behind the introduction music of the video on this podcast page or on this top page. So big shouts to I.O. too, right?
Yeah,
let's get shouts in this podcast.
And they have a very specific – well, not – I don't want to say specific style, but they have a general style that you could say, look at that and be like, huh, does that – is that Brother in a very good way? Not in
a defined style, I think, is a good way to put it, because they definitely do. Their videos always pack a lot in. Their edits have, you know, often a lot of energy or just a lot of stuff going on at once. But always in like a very beautiful way, where if you don't really even aren't able to follow the story kind of punch by punch, that you kind of can just let action wash over you and you can kind of follow along enough where you're just kind of let the beauty kind of carry you the rest of the way. This is like kind of like the quintessential Brother video almost. It's like such a dark and Weeknd is such a, I feel like such a great artist that like Brother style really complements.
So Grant Singer did three videos for The Weeknd this year, Tell Your Friends, The Hills, and Can't Feel My Face. And all three are fantastic music videos. The pace is a little more measured, especially even, you know, The Hills video, which has a car explosion, kind of moves at, you know, a pretty measured pace. They all take place in one sort of like, you know, contained space. And this video, on the other hand, really kind of opens up, you know, all of those elements. This is a music video that's pretty violent, very fast paced, very stylized, very intense, and very long as well. It's a 6-minute and 18-second video.
I was just going to say, I think it's all about timing too. When I think when you mentioned that The Weeknd has really become, gone from someone who pays a lot of attention to music and reads a lot of music blogs would know about, to someone who is basically one of the biggest pop stars of the year. And I think when you make that type of transition, that your earlier videos need to be kind of either performance heavy, like Can't Feel My Faces, or just kind of a little bit more, like you say, measured. I think the fourth video from the album has the luxury of being able to be a little bit more risky, a little bit more narrative, and a little bit less performance heavy. And I think, to line that up with a Brother video is really great timing as well.
And this takes place, as you mentioned before, Brother videos have a narrative, and it's not always imperative in those videos to be following what the narrative is. You just kind of have to get the gist.
Well, it's a strip club. It's a strip club where, the Weeknd obviously has a relationship with one of the strippers, who is actually, we learned last week, played by his actual girlfriend. He's got a relationship with one of the strippers, and obviously the owners or frequent guests of the strip club are somehow, making this a scary place for all involved. And The Weeknd seems to initially be the hero of the situation, and then kind of by the end of the video, it's clear that the ladies are more the hero, and The Weeknd is more just kind of a prop to kind of like start the action for all the ladies to kind of save the day.
Yeah, The Weeknd is he is not absent from this video, but he's not in all of it. But when he is, he makes it count. I think he has some great performances, some in the rain. This video moves so fast and has so many elements in it that you don't really miss him when there's other things going on.
And when he's performing, they do the, Brother's editing style is, like we said, there's a lot happening, and they do this kind of multiplying. I don't know the best way to describe it, but he kind of drags across the screen, and it's so there's more than one of them. Mm-hmm. So there's double time. But that's another great thing about this video is that it's not just a standard performance element, and that there's a lot going on even in the stuff that's not narrative and is more pure performance. It's not stripped back at all.
So we thought this video needed to be included in our top 10. It was a really interesting kind of melding of I think Brother have done music videos for tons of very successful pop artists. So it feels a little disingenuous to call them indie directors, but they have a very non-commercial and independent sensibility when it comes to style and pacing and content. With an artist that has grown to be a massive, huge pop force in 2015, and that the meaning of those, especially toward the end of the year, was really, really interesting, and I loved this video.
Yeah, totally.
So let's move on to number 9.
Cool.
What's that?
I said cool.
Oh, I thought you said like you got one more thing to say about Brother.
Oh, no, but like hoop, that's a cool thing.
Nice.
Hoop.
Well, you know what is super cool? And that's Flying Lotus.
I think he's cool.
Doug, you remember last year we had a Flying Lotus video, which was the Hiramari video that he did.
Right, for Never Catch Me.
That's right. And I believe that was, I can't remember what place it was on the list, but it was pretty high. It was an amazing video. And I remember one of the beautiful things about that video was how dark and cinematic it was. And it was from the same album that this song is, the number 9 on our countdown, Cronus the Terminator, which was released way back in January 2015.
Almost a full year ago. 50 weeks ago. And so we just had a video 2 weeks ago. Now we have a video from 50 weeks ago.
It's important to kind of spread things around that way, because music videos, whether they come out in the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, or the end of the year, I feel like, we're pretty good at placing those in their proper place. And when this video came out, I remember this was the first video that blew us away in 2015.
Yeah, definitely. It came pretty early, but like this video made me really excited about the music videos in 2015 because it's like, oh shit, we're 2 weeks into the year and we've already got this type of video. And because it came from an album in 2014, it felt like a little bit of 2014 bleeding through. But it also really did kind of look really established what the year was going to be like for music videos because there was such great stuff throughout the year. But yeah, this is one that really stuck with me throughout the year and still feels fresh watching it a year later. You know, I don't think you don't get dark music videos like this that are like trying to like be dark in a way that wants to like scare you or something like that. I mean, it comes off the album You're Dead and all the music videos from this album kind of deal with death, but this deals with it in a very unique and interesting way. And yeah, it definitely made it deserve a spot on this list.
So it's directed by Young Replicant, and the DP was Pat Scola. And it centers around a black older man who's dying. He's on his deathbed, and his family's around, and they're sort of laying hands on him. And I believe you're meant to understand that he's passed. And instead of going to heaven, he goes to he's still in the house, but he is in some sort of purgatory, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe like a passing into death kind of space, mm-hmm. something like that. Not like in heaven or hell, but more in like you said, like a purgatory, somewhere in between.
And this area is like populated by these people, but the way that they're styled as ghosts, and this is sort of one of the central images of the video that would stay with you, is they are covered in this powder. And so much so that if they, adjust their clothing or anything like that, that powder will fly off them.
Yeah. Which gives this very like ghostly effect. You know, if you imagine what somebody would do if they were going to like try to make someone into a ghost through VFX, they would kind of give them like an entrail and kind of have this kind of white kind of powder kind of emitting off of them. And Young Replicant was able to kind of have this happen in camera. But not in a way where it just seems like they dump baby powder on these folks, but that like it really does seem like it's originating off of the bodies, and these are just like dusty kind of old ghost characters. You know, it makes for a really unique kind of approach to ghosts.
And the song Cronus the Terminator is not kind of your a typical song where there is, you know, like a chorus or any sort of like a lot of recognizable repeating elements. It's sort of like meanders. It's dark. Mm-hmm. It's got this really interesting sound of the beat to it.
It's very like melody heavy.
It really is. It's an odd song. And the way that Young Replicant was able to really like take this very strange song, something that you would put on and you'd be like, that would immediately catch your attention. And create these really striking images that go with it was really amazing. And the other element of this is that there's sort of like a tent city kind of aspect to the end. Deciphering these images aside, you watch this and it's something that will definitely stay with you. It's a really striking experience to watch this music video.
It's one of the most beautiful videos of the year for a lot of reasons. One of the most beautifully shot. It's like very spooky, but it's also a video that feels very like effortless, and it's not trying too hard to do anything. And at no point does it feel too earnest or too taking itself too seriously or anything that like would normally be a potential flaw in a music video that deals with these elements or goes for these images. And so, you know, it's just super accomplished in all those ways.
Yeah, you're right. It never veers into cheesy territory.
No, not at all.
Which could be very easy.
This is like cool as fuck. Like this video is so fucking cool, right? Like this shit is cool.
And Doug, fun fact, this video came out on my birthday.
Oh shit.
So does that mean I'm cool?
Yeah, that is. Transitive property of music video birthdays.
Thanks, Young Replicant. And Pat Scola.
Big ups to Pat.
So let's move on to number 8.
We should.
So we're moving on from the spooky to the sexy, Doug.
Ooh, very easy transition.
It's super easy. And this is for like, in terms of like rock tracks, I feel like this is one of, if not, I know Let It Happen by Tame Impala gets more credit, like more attention than this. But this song is what they would call a banger.
And would you would you do some dancing to this song?
Yeah, yeah, I'd totally do some dancing to this song.
Goddamn right.
Go to my Instagram for that. www.com/Instagram/CNN. And this is The Less I Know, The Better by Tame Impala, directed by Canada.
Canada.
So you listen to this track. So let's talk about the track first.
Cool.
They have some elements in this track, and it's sort of, you know, you listen to it a few times and the story starts to appear.
Mm-hmm.
And the singer is talking about, you know, this girl that he's interested in, but she's with this other guy named Trevor. And it kind of deals with his jealousy and, like, emotions that come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing about this video is that Canada took that and put their own really I don't want to say psychedelic, but surreal spin on that.
Mm-hmm.
They set it in a high school. The main character, the sort of the protagonist of the song, becomes this high school basketball player. The girl becomes this ribbon dancer that he's interested in and is also interested in him because
he's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy, and he's, you know, he's going down on her in the beginning of the video.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. We get right into it right away. And
he seems to know what he's doing.
He looks like he's not timid at all.
No.
But then we start to move.
Maybe a little too emotional, but that's fine.
I think he's a little emotional, yeah. But then we find out the Trevor character in this, very cleverly kind of weaved into this video, is a dude in – we never see who it is, but it's a dude in a monkey suit who is sort of we understand is the – like the mascot of the basketball team.
I heard a reading of this video that Trevor is all in the basketball player's head, and it kind of represents his just kind of like raw sexual high school emotion. Do you buy that?
No, I totally. There's nothing in this video to indicate that Trevor is a real thing,
mm-hmm,
a real person.
Right. I mean, the fact that you see him, but like every time you see him, it's in some kind of surreal way.
Right.
Like there is some grounded elements in this video. The video starts in a very grounded place. You get kind of just this like them in like the like these characters, the players of, other than Trevor in the gym, the basketball team, the ribbon dancer squad, all kind of stretching in a gym. It's very grounded initially, and every time you see Trevor, it's very surreal. They're on stages at some point. Trevor's size and his size relative to the people shifts. Sometimes he's human size. Other times it's just like this massive gorilla hand that the female character lives in. This is police.
They're coming chasing. To get you, Doug, for talking about music videos too much.
Yeah, you can't do that in Chelsea.
So the person who plays the girl is an actress called I can't pronounce her name, Leia Manzanares. And I feel like you know, the dude who plays the basketball player is good, but I feel like this video hinges on a lot on her. And I think
the casting is fantastic.
It really is, yeah.
And I think the basketball player is kind of like innocent feeling, kind of like doughy eyed, kind mm-hmm. of like easy to root for, kind of like just kind of like easy to believe that he's coming from a place of just like kind of like purity and innocence, even though the video basically opens on him going down on a girl in the basketball locker room or whatever.
I'd be afraid somebody walking in.
You're putting yourself at risk. Whatever, if it's the boys' locker room or the girls' locker room, like whichever one is in the wrong locker room is making a risk, is like risking so much just by that. Even if you don't get caught doing like what you're actually doing.
Right.
When I was in high school, I had a friend who got – I'm not going to tell this story.
As soon as you said when I was in high school, I was like, there we go.
I never did anything. Any cool stories that originated when I was in high school are at least secondhand stories, if not third hand. So
the other thing – so the other
I'd
thing
have
that
killed
I,
for a third hand in high school. Oh, I'm sorry.
The other thing that I think is, you know, aside from really nailing the thematic elements, the casting, the technical elements of this video are pulled off so beautifully. There's the guitar riff at the beginning of this is synced just so perfectly with like the ribbon dancing of the cheerleader character.
How much ribbon dancing coverage they have. They ran through this ribbon dancing scene 95 times.
And there's, it's a combination of her dancing and her dancing and the ribbon dancing as well.
There is so much ribbon. And think about the casting in this video. They needed to find a lead girl who is all of the things you say, like so much of the hinges on this girl, and she can ribbon dance. Like they didn't teach her ribbon dancing during the production of this video. She came with that skill set. Similarly, whoever plays Trevor like jumps through a flaming basketball hoop, like flaming flaming hoop,
and old school style
dunks a basketball. Like this is a legit mascot with mascot skills. Like does all these flips and shit. Like and there are so many elements in this video that stuff just kind of like is 1 second and then passes by. Like a gorilla jumping through a flaming hoop and dunking a basketball in most music videos is like the narrative. That's the whole video. It's like, what's your music video idea? It's like, well, there's a gorilla and he does fire and he jumps through it and it takes 45 minutes. And in this Canada video, it is a blink of the eye and you miss that. And that's just speaking to how much happens in this video.
Such a great, and there are so many, the attention to detail in this video is just absurd and amazing. And there's an amazing animation sequence. I mean, you can talk all day about the live action sequences of this music video, but in the middle, there's a brilliant animation sequence. So,
and the animation ties directly to like production design elements. Like there's one scene. So there's like this part, where, the basketball player like spits up blood, which then leads into kind of paint dripping over what reveals to be like a naked female body. And that paint then drips into what turns into like an animated colorful basketball court. And then later that animated colorful basketball court is a actual set that they have in the music video colored and recreated the exact same way as the animation, all with this like very similar aesthetic and color palette. Like the way things connect and the number of things that connect and how it doesn't feel overstuffed is just, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. I hats off. If I had a hat, I'd take it off. To Canada.
Gorilla masks off.
Yeah. Gorilla hat masks off.
What's next on our list?
Well, one fact you may not know about me is I called the shots like blah, blah, blah.
No, I knew that about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was well aware of how you call the shots like blah. Oh,
thank you. Well,
I would never act like I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Well, please don't act like you forgot because I know you didn't.
No, I would never.
You know, somebody else who calls the shots like blah, blah, blah.
Rihanna?
Absolutely. And that's the next video in this list, Doug.
Oh, shit. How weird. What's for what song?
Bitch Better Have My Money. And this has a few different awards in the top 10, or a few different distinctions in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Number one, this is the longest video in the top 10. Clocking in 7 minutes and 1 second.
Yeah, we made our list is 51 minutes and 10 seconds. That's how long you can get through these 10 videos. It'll take you longer if you watch our custom experience, because we talk.
But, it'll take you way longer, yeah.
Yeah, but way more fun.
Definitely. I mentioned before the Pitchfork top 100 tracks of the year, and this song was on there, and they made a really good point about how in 2015 there was a lot of talk about women apologizing. They mentioned the Amy Schumer skit where women say sorry for things that they shouldn't. Right. Say sorry for in the first place, and that Bitch Better Have My Money is sort of the antidote for that in song form. It is the most unapologetic song, and I feel like
Rihanna's pretty unapologetic.
Absolutely, yeah. If you told me that Rihanna had an album called Unapologetic, I probably would believe you.
If you told me that Rihanna apologized, I wouldn't believe you.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
But this video is sort of along the same vein, I feel like. This is directed by Megaforce and Rihanna. And this is a video that, in the same kind of the same way that Bitch Better Have My Money pushed the envelope as a song, this pushed the envelope as a video in a few ways.
Right. Violence, nudity, kidnapping.
All of those things. Implied torture.
Implied torture. Cabin fever. No, what's it called? Munchausen syndrome? No, what's the thing? What's the thing of when you start to empathize with your kidnappers?
Oh, a Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. Right. That's happening in a little bit here.
Yeah. So this opens on a sort of a middle-aged lady who is obviously very rich, getting dressed, kisses her unseen husband on the cheek, walks out the door of their apartment, gets in the elevator, and in the elevator is Riri with a some sort of crate. They put her in the crate.
She's with a squad, too.
She's with a squad, yeah. Not a squad that you may expect to be hanging with
Riri. Well, she's with a squad of like, more, like, women that you would probably encounter in your day-to-day life, whereas the woman that they kidnap is kind of like a, almost like a Barbie doll figure of someone, like, who just, like, checks as many boxes as you can for, like, traditional, like expectations of beauty.
Right. But definitely a little older.
Yeah.
It's not like some, like, 22-year-old or
whatever. No, but otherwise, like, she is tall and thin and blonde and has, what appears to be fake boobs and just, like, kind of all of those, you know, things that you would see. You just, like, standards of beauty things.
Right. And she's – I mean, so they take her on basically a little bit of a trip. She is their captive during this trip. Most of the video takes place on this trip. They're on a boat. They hang her upside down in a barn. They kind of hang out in different places. And at the end, you have this reveal – here are the spoilers – that this person wasn't the person that owed Rihanna the money. This wasn't the bitch better have my money. Her husband, an accountant, who in this video apparently screwed Rihanna over, is the one that owes Rihanna
money.
That's
the fucking bitch.
That's the bitch. And at the end, which was controversial, I think, it's been a pretty violent, implied violence scene. Rihanna picks out a knife to torture this person and kill them with. And the last scene is her basically covered in blood, sitting in a chest of money, smoking a cigarette.
Right. Looking cool as fuck.
Looking very cool, yeah. I mean, I don't know if – I mean, I'd ask Rihanna to have a shower first, but I would definitely go to, you know, go to TGI Fridays with her.
Or just go wherever she wants and listen to her stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I'm paying,
You don't have to pay. You can do whatever – you could go Dutch.
Oh. You know, if I was out with Rihanna, I would pay.
Okay. But she's got – I mean, okay. And you're then the bitch who has her money and it's her money for, you know
– Yeah, but if she was genuinely interested in me
– Yeah, but that's still like ultimately – like you're talking when – like Bitch Better Have My Money pulled away from the music video – for a second, is a mind state, right? It is a state of mind where you know your worth is what it all boils down to. It's knowing your worth, and so it doesn't even Bitch Better Have My Money doesn't even necessarily need to be somebody owes me money for something. It could just be like they recognize my value, my money, and them having it could just mean them kind of acknowledging it. And so, it doesn't, you don't have to take it so on the nose. Mm-hmm. And so it can mean that. Your meal that you're talking about buying her, she's worth that. That can be her money. Mm-hmm. And you better fucking have it.
Oh, I do. And I have a lot of love for this video. We love this video because this was an amazing combination of forces. Number one, Rihanna, which is one of the most entertaining entertainers / singers out there for her general attitude and willingness to go a little bit farther than anybody else. Plus Megaforce, who has directed some of our absolute favorite music videos because of their willingness to take something not all the way into a surreal mode, but definitely push the edges. Their video for Sacrilege by Yeah Yeah Yeahs from 2013 won quite a bit of awards. We also have talked about and written about Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi from 2010. There are some beautiful and fantastic music videos in their list, and Bitch Better Have My Money, I feel like, is kind of a crowning achievement for them. It's an amazingly crafted music video.
Yeah. One of the best, 2015. What's another best?
Well, let's go, Doug, that was number seven. Let's go to another one, and that is directed by Doug. Have you heard of this person before? This is a Hiro Murai?
Hiro Murai. No, who is this?
Wait, hold on. Is this the same Hiro that was on our list last year for Flying Lotus's video?
Oh, yeah, same guy. I think it's the same guy.
Interesting.
Weird.
And you know what? I feel like now that you're kind of like jogging my memory, I feel like we've talked about Hiro Murai's videos like quite a bit for the last
like 3 years. Maybe dozens of times on this podcast?
Maybe dozens of times. I mean, we may have
maybe
actually...
Maybe Hiro's been on this podcast a handful of times?
This is all starting to sound very familiar.
Okay. We know who this guy is.
And this is for... Right. Doug, we're putting on a goof and a
spoof. We're spoofing a goof.
Oh, man. We got you guys. And, of course, this is Hiro Murai's video for Sober by Childish Gambino. And we've talked a lot about director-artist duos on the podcast. And this is a relationship that has gone on for 5 or 6 music videos between Childish Gambino and Hiro Murai that has resulted in some beautiful and amazing music videos. And this is, I think, kind of might be my favorite in this series.
I feel like it's so, like, because they're all executed at the same level. They all do some things differently. They all have some similarities. So it's so subjective. But I feel like this is the one I've definitely watched the most and the most entertaining of the bunch.
So this takes place entirely in, I would say, some sort of... you order your food and you wait for it kind of place.
Yeah, fast casual, but like not as hipstery.
Definitely not a franchise.
Counter service.
Counter service. Yeah, and it's an entire place. There's this woman waiting, and there's Childish Gambino waiting, and she's kind of trying to keep to herself, and Childish Gambino is trying to get her attention.
Yeah, whatever way he can, and he tries all sorts of moves,
all sorts of things. Through the whole video, you kind of get the sense that Childish Gambino is a little out of it. For instance, he does some magic where I believe like a pigeon flies out of his jacket, but he is like kind of like surprised and a little bit seems a little annoyed by it.
He's not initially convincing. He's always entertaining, especially to the viewer, but the girl that he's trying to impress is not always very sure of how impressive he is.
I kept waiting for her to pull out a can of mace and spray him in the face. Right,
it would be very acceptable.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would not judge a person who's trying to get picked up by Childish Gambino in this video. Right. And it kind of takes a turn for the surreal at a certain point. And I think one of our favorite elements of this video is that she starts to warm up to him, and you think that it's sort of building to something at some point, and then it's interrupted by the fact that this girl's food is done, and she goes and picks it up at the counter, and Childish Gambino is left alone.
Yeah, it's great because there's so many like beautiful and surreal elements in this video, but the ending kind of really does bring you back down to earth, and it ends up being really satisfying. I feel like you feel like during the video you're kind of rooting for Childish Gambino, regardless of how kind of like creepy he is, you kind of know, you know in your heart of hearts that Childish Gambino's a good guy.
Right.
And you want him to succeed. So as the video's going on, you're rooting for him and you want the girl to smile and you want her to kind of like be into what he's doing, because ultimately you are and you're entertained by it. You're like, you should be entertained by this too, pretty girl. Mm-hmm. And but then the ending kind of happens and you're left more satisfied by the wrap up, instead of feeling like that it's like cliche for them to end up together and they're like a beautiful couple and they live happily ever after and that's how this music video ends. That's like super false. And it really does like bring it back to the real world, and you end up being like more like that's more what you want as you find like you end up finding out.
Really,
what's your favorite dance move in the video?
I like the moonwalk with the fingers.
Finger moonwalk is a good one.
What about you?
I think I like the best when he's kind of doing the air guitar moment. That's the one that I get most excited about, and I try to do myself.
Right. How does that go?
Not great. Ian Eastwood, who choreographed this video, who also had a fantastic year, also choreographed the Sunday Candy video by Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment, which was on our top 50 list this year. He would not be impressed with my rendition of his choreography.
Hmm. Sorry, Ian. Yeah.
We love you, though.
And we should mention this was DP'd by Kevin Phillips, and this is from our friends at Doomsday Entertainment.
Right. Kevin Phillips has been on this podcast, too, just like Hiram Rai.
Damn. You know who hasn't been on this podcast is Radke.
You're right. Radke, the band, has never been on this podcast.
Come on, guys. Who are you sleeping on?
Who are you sleeping on? You're sleeping on a purple couch. And what about you, Nikos Livsey, director of Radke Glore? Why haven't you been on this podcast?
You know, let's role play. I'll be Nikos. You be IMVDB.
Hey, Nikos, big fan of the video. Super, super great. Would you like to be on our podcast?
You know what? Sure.
Oh.
That's our fantasy.
Oh, wait, that's how it would go? So that means maybe we should just ask and maybe it could happen.
That's right.
But until then, let's talk about Radke Glore. We're in our top five music videos, 2015.
Holy crap. This is number five, Doug.
That's it.
And this is kind of a rare thing on our top 10 music videos, and all animation. Not just all animation, but definitely the first all claymation music video that we've seen. And this takes place... it's a psychedelic video or a surreal video. I should stop saying psychedelic because nobody says it anymore.
Bringing it back.
But it kind of centers around this couch, this purple couch, in, I guess, you know, wherever the three guys from Radke are living. And it's a little tough to describe, but basically it is a journey through space and time with these guys. And it is all claymation. It is a very intense song. Glore is pretty short. This might be our shortest video of the top 10. I think it's about 2 minutes and 8 seconds. But it is so intense that at the very end of this video, the three members are transported back onto their couch after traveling through a neon tunnel. They're all transported back to the couch and promptly just vomit everywhere.
Right. I think like one of my favorite things about this video is that it somehow manages to like make claymation feel new again.
Mm-hmm.
Claymation has been around like basically my whole life. And I feel like I've been watching it forever. And there's a lot of the things that I remember watching it from referenced in this video. But somehow this video manages to take this technique that's been around forever and make it feel, you know, this is our generation's claymation music video, not anybody else's. We own this shit.
This is not your father's claymation music
video. This isn't your grandfather's claymation.
and it follows a sort of stream of consciousness that is so well-suited to this claymation because everything turns into everything else. There are not a lot of just like straight cuts in this video. A lot of them are either match cuts or some physical object changing into another physical object. And a lot of these like flash things that you see, these images that just last, you know, half a second or so, are, you know, things that we all sort of collectively remember, but are warped in some way. Like you will see like SpongeBob SquarePants just like very quickly, but it's not, you know, it doesn't look like SpongeBob exactly. It's sort of this nightmare version of SpongeBob.
Or you'll see Batman and then he takes acid.
Yeah, Batman does take acid in this.
Drops acid, I think is what the kids say.
And it's an interesting melding between, the effects of whatever drugs these guys are on, the hallucinations and the images, plus just like their actual reality.
Right.
There's like a great sequence of pizza slices being torn apart where, you know, it starts off with something very normal, a pizza box opening with pizza in it. And then these slices, you know, the more they pull at it, the more slices appear.
It's my dream.
It's my dream as well. I would prefer the pizza be real and not claymation pizza, though. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but.
I dream of Genie.
Interesting.
I don't know what that was.
But this is a video that, like, for an animated video and a claymation video, this like definitely was something that we watched over and over again. This is a very impressive video.
And raises the bar. If you're gonna make a claymation music video now, mm-hmm. you got to do something above the bar.
Right. You can't just go. Well, if you go below the bar, I believe that's technically limbo.
Yeah, right. And that's not a music video. So what? Something that is a music video is number 4 on our list.
That's right. It's Doug, we're getting to top 3. This is top 4.
Yeah.
Number 4 on our list is Anna by Will Butler.
Right.
And this is the second version of this video. I don't recommend the first.
Nope, we recommended number 2, the 2015 version, our generation's Anna video.
This is not your father's Anna video. So you may remember last year when a lot of the most popular music videos were dominated by dance, such as Chandelier by Sia. And that was choreographed by one Ryan Heffington.
I remember last year.
And Ryan has continued to be an amazing choreographer. I would recommend watching all of the videos that he's choreographed because he's really an amazing, can you say choreographer, auteur?
Maybe? Sure. We just did. Wouldn't it be funny if like 2015 hit and like he's began to suck? He's just like, oh, I do not continue to be an amazing choreographer anymore.
Like 2016?
Yeah, whenever it is. Just like when the turn of the year marks his, just would mark it. It's obviously not going to happen.
And I mean, that would be funny, but it's also sad. So,
yeah.
So this video is directed by Brantley Gutierrez and starring mm-hmm. Emma Stone. Choreographed by Ryan Heffington. And this is by far my favorite Ryan Heffington choreographed video.
Wow, that's lofty claim.
It is now, lofty.
Going into 2015, were you like when you were penciling in your like directors who were going to direct music videos in our top 10 videos of the year, I'm sure you were like, okay, brother, here am I. Brantley Gutierrez were like your shoe-in directors for this year, right?
Well, I mean, Brantley Gutierrez did direct the video for Johnny and Mary by Brian Ferry, which is a great video.
Oh, I'm not saying that he's a bad director. This is just like an unexpected inclusion. Like going into the year, like if you were going to like get like assign favorites, mm-hmm. if people were taking Las Vegas style bets on our top 10 music videos of the year list, Brantley Gutierrez would be paying back a lot of money.
Right, and I also would not have singled out Will Butler, who is an Arcade
Fire. Yeah, like all the members of Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
Like the brother.
And this song was actually, if you ever listened to the Song Exploder podcast, this is an amazing episode of the Song Exploder podcast. But basically this video follows Emma Stone dancing around the ship, the Queen Mary. And, it's tough to describe dancing, but it is an extremely well done basically dance routine all over this entire ship for the entire music video. And you know, the song Anna has this like very quirky, a lot of it is kind of an improvised song, both in the composition and the recording of it. And it has that feeling to it, this very spontaneous,
well, clearly being not spontaneous though, like no way, like this is, choreographed to the T, like she's moving throughout this boat, and like new dancers are kind of emerging from all different sorts of like areas from the boat, and the camera is turning and everything is kind of choreographed in this video, but it still does have that kind of spontaneity that you wouldn't really expect in something that is so detailed.
Yeah, and it really is incredible when you watch this how all of the elements that really need to be on point to make an amazing music video are coming together in a lot of these sequences. There's an amazing sequence toward the end of the video where, you know, there are these sailors and the Anna, titular Anna, played by Emma Stone, like, is on the deck of the ship and sort of pantomimes throwing a bowling ball down like a bowling alley lane. And the camera turns around and, you know, shows like these sailors kind of like on the ground but sort of flopping around like fish. It sounds super, super stupid when I describe it. But if you watch it, everything from the camera movement to how the shots are composed, the dancing, all the different elements are just really amazingly pulled off in this. And Ryan Heffington does what I think no other choreographer really has nailed so consistently, and that is being able to really adapt the personality and the personal quirks of whoever's doing the dance to the actual dance. And that's what this is all about.
And I'm pretty sure he makes a cameo in this video. I'm sure there's ways that I can find out that's better than this, but I'm going to try this method instead. And this method is, if you're listening to this podcast and you know whether or not Ryan Heffington makes an appearance in this video, please let me know. This is the podcast equivalent of, instead of Googling something, tweeting the question. And that's what I'm doing here, but instead in podcast form. So in 2 weeks when you are – 2 weeks from when I say it, when you're listening to it – If you know if Ryan Heffington is in this video, tweet me at Doug_Klinger or at IMVDB.
Remember the underscore. If you do the dash, it's not going to work.
And if you just do Doug Klinger, you're going to get the guy who founded Monster.com.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. He was the guy who was on our Crunchbase for a while. Anyone who knows what Crunchbase is,
that Doug Klinger, you guys got to get on that hot Crunchbase.
I had Twitter first, but I used to have a different Twitter account than Doug underscore. You know, I had another dumber one.
Yeah, the Doug movement. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Doug Klinger of Monster.com fame. He seems like a nice guy because he actually had Doug_Klinger and I tweeted some snide thing at him and then suddenly it was available. So nice. If you, Doug Klinger, if you're listening to this podcast. thanks.
Doug. Yeah, you're a good dude.
Good man.
Number three. Should we get into the top three? We're getting kind of close here.
We ought to. I think our number three video is what's going to end up being the Grammy winner for Best Music Video at the upcoming Grammys.
And I've seen this video on the top of many music video and song lists this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a runaway, I feel like, you know,
runaway train
of a hit. And that is All Right by Kendrick Lamar, directed by Colin Tilley. Now, Doug, if you're talking about bets, if you had told me that at the end of 2015, that a video by Kendrick Lamar, directed by Colin Tilley, would be at the top of everybody's list for 2015, I would have said, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, it would have been a safer bet than Brantley Gutierrez. No offense, Brantley.
Right. But what I mean by that is that, well, first of all, Kendrick Lamar has not been a perennial music video powerhouse in terms of...
No, it's not something that he has seemed to have focused on versus the additional attention that he appears to give to almost every other element of being a pop and hip-hop performer and artist.
Right, and it's not that his music videos have been bad necessarily, but I think several of them have been missed opportunities to be.
He just doesn't seem to give the same attention as he does to like even live performances on, you know, Jay Leno's car show.
Right, yeah. Which you got to get on if you can. If
you're not watching Jay Leno's car show.
Oh, geez.
What are you doing with your time? You're listening to podcasts about music videos, I guess.
Right. So, you know, not that they've been bad, but I think they have been forgettable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been a huge disservice to his music because he's been, of course, one of the most memorable and dynamic and, you know, rappers and entertainers in the last few years. So when I struggled to recall what the hell is in the Backseat Freestyle music video, that makes me sad because it's an amazing track.
What the hell is in the Backseat?
Yeah, or like Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. I mean, that's it's an amazing song. But anyway, so his album To Pimp a Butterfly came out in March and was a very hotly anticipated album. And I think Kendrick Lamar has been putting some more effort into the music videos. And then, so what I mean by, and it's not a diss against Colin Tilley at all. He's a fantastically talented director. He has music videos that I think are extremely underrated. Like Talk Dirty to Me by Jason Derulo from 2013. And music videos that would definitely put in the category as iconic, like Anaconda from 2014.
Definitely.
But, you know, when I put those two names together, Colin Tilley and Kendrick Lamar, I never would have expected something as sort of like timeless and iconic as this All Right video. This feels like a video that we will be talking about in 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I hate to call it unexpected, but I didn't – like we have – like it wasn't a combination that I expected to put out this type of music video. It's just not Colin Tilley makes a great, really diverse music videos, but they're all very performance heavy or kind of just like the – you could feel the budget in a lot of his videos. And this is a video that you'd like – I think you feel the budget too, but like in a different kind of way.
Mm-hmm. And so this starts out, this is a pretty long video, released in June of this year. And it starts out with some of the kind of spoken word elements from To Pimp a Butterfly, some that were tacked onto the end of the track All Right, that are kind of put together into this montage. The actual song doesn't start until about a minute and 30 seconds into this video. But once it does, it is a black and white sequence of images that are all really striking visual images. And a lot of them are kind of simple, like visual tricks. Like I think what's going to be the image that people remember about this video is Kendrick Lamar standing on top of a streetlight,
right?
Which is, I still don't know how they did this.
I think it's just like rigging, and then they painted out the rigging.
Yeah,
and the same way with the driving scene where he's kind of running as they're driving. I think they employed similar effects. So you say simple in that it, you think like, well, how'd they put him up there? Well, they probably just rigged him up. But like saying that and doing that are two completely different things, especially when you're talking about Kendrick Lamar and like the like insurance and risk that you're taking by just like dangling Kendrick Lamar above traffic. It's a lot of risks, but. Essentially it's like, you know, some practical fit, like Kendrick is really up there. So some practical mixed with some VFX to like remove rigging and stuff.
And the one element that I think is central and is absolutely key to this video is that this song is, you know, produced by Pharrell, is an amazing pop song, with some depth to it. And has all these amazing moments in the song that are just begging to be brought out by this music video. And Kendrick Lamar just nails every single one perfectly, but in his performance. I think this is one of like the marquee performances of, you know, ever in music videos in terms of subtlety.
There's like some great performances on this list. I mean, obviously Childish Gambino Sober has a fantastic performance. We just talked about Will Butler, Anna. But I think, you know, from Kendrick Lamar, an artist who really, like, he is known by a lot of people for his great performances, and a lot of people have kind of seen him for the first time probably in maybe his SNL performance or, you know, his performances on one of the late night shows in which he's done a slew of, and they're really unique. He doesn't just go out there with a DJ and a microphone and, like, do half a verse and call it quits. Like, it's and he also isn't the opposite of that on some like Kanye West Yeezus tour stuff where it's like all flash, you know, he kind of carries it with like, it's more just considered and measured. And I think you get that in his performance in this video as well.
Yeah. I'm really happy this video came together the way it did. And I am really happy to see it on the top of many music video lists for this year.
It's and congrats on your pre-Grammy, Colin.
Yeah, congrats on your Grammy. Although that's not a totally done deal, but I feel like
it's not tied up, but that's where my money is.
The amount of
we've been talking about a lot of betting on this.
Yeah,
everything's betting.
Doug, do you have
who takes music video bets?
Maybe we need a DraftKings for music videos.
Music video DraftKings? That would be sick.
Yeah, let's drop everything and just work on that concept.
Yeah, we'll pivot.
So Doug, now we're in the top two.
We are. That's what you, after the top three.
So number two is a music video and song that I believe has and will appear on many, many best of the year lists.
This is the Britney Spears "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" of 2015.
Wow. Now, Doug, that's you can't use that lightly.
No, but I think this is going to be like the pop song and the pop video that will define 2015. And that we'll like look back and say, this is what 2015 was all about.
Well, here we go. Here it is at number two, Hotline Bling.
By Britney Spears.
directed by Director X. Damn.
Who?
So this music video made a huge impact. We were talking about Apple Music earlier. This is a music video that premiered on Apple Music, as did many Drake music videos of this year, including Energy. This is a video that kind of, in a way that Drake can only do, created like a million memes.
Yeah, Drake is, you know, the most memeable artist there is, I think we say on the podcast where we talked about this video a couple months ago. But it's because of stuff like this. And this video definitely had the biggest kind of cultural impact. It was definitely the most, you know, there were SNL sketches about it. There were Tumblr blogs dedicated to memes about it. It was all over Vine, you know, everything from like big pop culture TV stuff to like web pop culture stuff, like Vine memes, you know, were saturated with Drake after this video came out and after it was only out on Apple Music. Like it didn't take for it to hit YouTube or Vevo for the memes to start happening. And it's not that we're just giving this the second spot on the list because it is of the cultural impact, but it like that impact is part of it. It's also a fantastic music video, and it's another director who, you know, you don't expect to be making the types of videos that get looked at for lists like this. You know, normally we are celebrating with a top 10 list innovation, and a lot of the artists who turn to directors like Colin Tilley and Director X are looking to recreate some of the videos that Director X and Colin Tilley were kind of being innovative with. You know, when those guys started, the artists they worked with, they were kind of breaking new ground, and then artists now come to them for that ground they broke. And I think for All Right, Colin Tilley broke new ground, and I think Director X is breaking new ground with Hotline Bling, and they're breaking this ground with massive artists, and to be able to do that is really something that's got to be celebrated, and I think that's happening here.
Yeah, and what strikes me about this video is how simple it is in its concept. I mean, this is a music video that I think is memeable and iconic because it has such simple, recognizable elements. The sets are difficult to describe. They're basically like large, very softly lit kind of geometric shapes.
And I've seen some references, like some high art, and I can't recall the artist's name, but like high art installations that look very similar to these set pieces. And I think some people were up in arms, like Drake ripped off this man, this dude, who I wish I could remember who it was, but I don't. And like, you know, Drake ripped this guy off. But like, this is how pop music videos work. They pull references from places and they recreate it in music videos. Sometimes it's, you know, the artist is just like, I love Blade Runner. So they make Blade Runner into a music video. And it's as simple as that. So that type of thing is very typical for music videos. The fact that Director X and Drake are pulling visual references, if they did, from a high art installations and turning them into Tumblr memes, you know, like a music video that is just ripe for Tumblr memes, that's amazing. And that is exactly what 2015 is in music videos, right? It's like being influenced by unexpected places and making it something that feels created for bite size consumption.
And I don't know if we mentioned this explicitly, but the centerpiece of this is Drake's amazing dance moves.
Right. ties it all together.
Really ties it all together. And a lot of people, when this video came out, they're like, haha, you know, Drake's dancing poorly or whatever.
That was the SNL joke.
That was, yeah, a very weak joke.
Better SNL.
Just because it's not, you know, beautifully Ryan Heffington choreographed dancing, that it's bad. It is unique in a way that I think has made Drake, you know, the kind of pop and rap icon that he is today. It is unexpected and just so unique, just like this video, that you kind of can't help but pay attention. And it's unique that an artist comes along where they're doing that and putting that kind of thing, those kind of things out there. And they're appealing to such a massive audience. So this is the pure music video distillation of what Drake is as an artist. So hats off to Director X for kind of being able to capture that.
Hats off to you.
Doug, do you have any hats?
I don't think I have any hats.
Don't lie.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to give you an honest answer. And I'm trying to just like, I mentally went through every room and drawer and cubby in my house. Right. I do have, like, when it's cold and my little ears get cold, I put on, like, a knit hat.
Yeah.
Or, like, a Scully or something.
Yeah.
So I've got those.
Okay. That's fine.
How about you?
Yeah, I got some hats.
What kind of hats?
I mean, one's a baseball hat.
When do you wear that?
No, I don't wear hats. I just have them.
But you own them.
Right.
Just to keep up with hats.
Just
so people don't think you're weird. It's like, where do you keep your hats when they come and visit? They're like, okay, cool. Dogs, cool. Kitchen, cool. Where are your hats? Oh, I keep my hats right here.
In my hat room, yeah.
And they're like, oh, cool, baseball. cool.
So just to mention, or just to put in perspective how, you know, we were talking about Adele earlier. Hotline Bling and Hello were released within 3 days of each other in October. Hotline Bling, for as massive as it was and for as late as it came on YouTube as it did, because remember it premiered on Apple Music, is at 215 million views. Adele Hello is at 710.
Wow, is Hotline Bling at 215 million though? That's still really impressive.
It really is.
Considering it didn't premiere there and it like premiered there weeks later.
Yeah.
Like if it would have premiered there at the height, man. I don't want to speculate, but that would be tight, yo. All right. Here we go.
So number should we one. Do number 1?
Yeah.
Like I want you to take us into number 1.
Okay. Here we go. This is another video. We keep kind of like bouncing back and forth early in the year, late in the year, middle of the year, early in the year. This is an early in the year music video that was released in early February 2015 by a director who had a fantastic 2015. He attended the Grammys in 2015 in high heels. He won like 4 UK MVAs. And directed 4 really fantastic music videos. And the first one that he released this year is Out of the Black by Royal Blood. And this is David Wilson. And this is a video that he co-directed with Christy Caracas, who is the co-creator of Superjail, the Adult Swim show. And so This is a video, half animation, half live action, which is not a space that David Wilson is unfamiliar with. He's done several music videos that that mix media like that. And this video starts with a bunny rabbit mascot. It's a second video in our top 10 with mascots. Bunny rabbit mascot running through a convenience store, stealing candy bars and killing people. And then it's essentially the video then takes us through a mixed media adventure full of violence and mayhem and aliens and cops, which kind of, and ends with kind of like a standoff between a line of police officers and a line of mascots, probably alien mascots, basically battling to the death, and essentially battling to the death over a single candy bar. So, with all this mayhem and violence, this is like a super fun and entertaining video. Essentially the most fun and entertaining video of the year, which is a big reason why it was top of the list for 2015.
And you mentioned co-direction by Christy Caracas, who is the co-creator of Super Jail. And if you've ever seen Super Jail, it is a really interesting mix of surreal and ultra-violent animation. So when we say this is kind of like a combination of animation and live action, it's not like, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit or anything like that. It basically basically switches between live action and fully animated at different points, very strategic points. So you get these insane, ultra violence, crazy violent action sequences that happen like at certain points, and then all of a sudden it'll cut back to live action at
and the live action like reflects the mayhem that just happened in the animation. So the live action scene is set up one way, and then there's animation, and then we're back in live action, and everything that happened in the animation is now left, all the remains are left in the live action world. And it creates this really like interesting balance of like it becomes like almost a second reveal.
Yeah, it is really amazing the way they kind of melded these two with nothing other than just, you know, cuts between the live action and the actual animated sequences. And yeah, you might look at the top 10 list and think, you know, for 2 and 3, those were really, you know, music videos with hundreds of millions of views. And then, you know, for our number one, it's something that's, you know, a little bit more, I would say, underground. I mean, it's less than a million views.
Well, not if you include YouTube.
A little more, maybe underground, definitely less people.
It's on the 100 millions, you know, it's about, you know, close to 4 million if you combine the YouTube and Vimeo views, but the but when you compare that to hundreds of millions of views, yeah, that's definitely underground. In the new internet, you know, world where, you know, somebody does something on Vine and it's got 10 million loops in 15 minutes, those like big numbers become dwarfed pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, 5 million views is still like kind of a modest view count when you think about the like how popular music videos can get on the internet.
And the reason this is number one for us is because, you know, even though there are videos that had, a huge cultural impact or maybe even a very large social commentary impact, you know, at the end of the day for us, I feel like music videos are fun. You know, even when there are all these different things socially and culturally relevant, you know, we love music videos that are innovative in a really fun and sort of interesting way to, you know, have a music video that's, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long that is just a crazy, unique, action-packed ride that could kind of be its own short film or even a full-length film on its own, if it was kind of extrapolated out, is really exciting to see. And to see David Wilson, who has been, you know, like you said, Doug, had an amazing year and has had several amazing years.
Yeah.
Do something like this. We are both blown away by this video and
right,
just how, like how it uses the format and the craft of music videos to create something really incredible.
Yeah. So that's it. Those are the 10 best videos of the year.
One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10
Yep. You did.
I just wanted to count those out just to make sure that's what we had.
Yep, we did it.
So, Doug, if you wanted to see what people in Portugal are seeing, if I understand this correctly, you would go to imvdb.com/2015
Yeah, 2015
Okay. Wow. Okay. Nice.
Go to that website. Check them out. Check it out. You'll
see a lot of stuff.
A lot of music videos, a lot of great music videos from this year.
You'll see Doug and I together in New York talking about these music videos.
Yeah, you'll see. We curated a list of 10, a list of 50. We tell you why we picked them. We also, because we're impartial, asked some other people to collect some music video lists and ask them what they thought, just in case you know, wanted a second opinion or 10 other opinions.
It's important to get a second opinion.
Yeah, or, you know, 10. So that'll be there. It's all packed in. You might even have listened to this podcast there.
And so, Doug, next week, I think the last podcast before the end of the year, we're going to talk about Christmas music videos.
Yeah, we do that every year. You can listen to it on your commute. And this time, it'll be a new list of music videos, except for, of course, our favorite, Judy Pankow.
Yeah, I think we got to check in with Judy Pankos this year. I hope she's doing her tour across the United States.
We should look into it. Maybe check in.
Yeah, maybe we'll have Judy Pankos on the podcast.
The only way you can find out is if you listen next week.
It's Christmas. Who the fuck cares? Right. So everybody, thank you for an awesome 2015. We hope you enjoyed the upcoming Christmas episode. We hope you enjoyed our top 10 music videos, and we'll see you in 2016.